Podtacular Tip Show, episode 50, for the week of February 9th, 2006.
All right, gentlemen, let's get freaky!
Well, hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Podtacular, the unofficial Halo 2 podcast. I'm your host, Boomo Jive, and we have some guest hosts with us today.
I'm Filthy Noob.
I'm Salmonator.
And I'm Captain Grunt.
Right on, you guys. Welcome to the show. And we got another show this time with the tip show to help you guys kind of level up and stay there. And we are kind of covering a map we have covered before, but we're calling this the in-depth edition, to where we go in based on the different game types. And we kind of divide it up and go into the different sections individually, which I think is going to be really helpful for everyone. So I'm starting off with a little bit of news here, because, you know, stuff happens every week. So we got more stuff to report here. Looks like we talked about last episode how we have a new website at podtacular.com. Well, Captain Crunk is the guy that pretty much is responsible for that whole deal, guys. And we're really excited to have him on the show here today.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Right on, dude. Hey, can you tell us a little bit about what kind of stuff is on the new website and you know, what people can check out if they haven't already seen it?
Sure. You know, the biggest thing is going to be the forum, you know, where everybody can kind of get together and just chat or, you know, go back and forth on just about anything that has to do with Podtacular and Halo and the game. And there's also a new a thing that we're doing with blogs where you can kind of, you know, just write down your own thoughts or, you know, some little fun stuff. And we're already seeing some cool things with some users adding videos, and you know who you are.
Oh, they're funny. They're funny.
Yeah.
Especially that Xbox 360 band ad. I laughed.
Yeah, that's great, dude.
I lolled the whole time.
Yeah. So that's something where, you know, we're kind of letting people voice their own, you know, have their own voice and just kind of express themselves, but within our community, you know, everybody's kind of rolling together with it.
Right,
so.
On, man, that's great.
I think that's a cool feature that some people are going to really like. We've also got we've got some new things where we're going to have a little more, what, like the clan rankings, where, you know, you can kind of see in a little more detail instead of trying to get to Bungie's site or, you know, another site. You can see like how the clans are breaking down as far as the rankings, and there's a few other plans that I have as far as showing who's in each clan and how each individual is doing. But right now it's pretty basic. So
it's great though. And that was from some help from another site, right?
Right. That all that statistics, it's being driven by. I think a lot of people probably know this. It's Halo 2. .junk.ws. They do a lot of the you know, forum signatures and some cool stuff with all the statistics and ranking stuff.
Awesome.
So yeah, big shout out to those guys.
Yeah, man, that's a great site.
They pitched in pretty nice, trying to help us out there.
Sweet.
That's pretty cool.
There's a lot of really great stuff about the new site. I don't know about some of you guys, but on the Bungie forums, there was like maybe 10 active people. And now it seems like there's like probably more than 50 people, like people I never even heard of already on there. And it's really cool to meet some other players. And I remember even posting stuff on the old site and people would be like, "What forums?" And I'd just be like, "Are you serious?" Like,
yeah.
But it's really cool how people can individualize and personalize everything too. So
definitely. I think it's pretty cool that it's all tied together now in one place. You know, that's the other thing that, I knew was kind of a problem, you know, having to go over to Blogger and then Bungie and then, you know, whatever other places. So.
Yeah, exactly.
I like the blogs especially. They're nice personal touch.
Yeah, totally. And everybody being able to do their own avatars and their own, you know, Forbes signatures and all that stuff. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. The forums, they're not quite as, you know, as feature, you know, packed as some of these other forums that you might see around the internet, but we're adding stuff little by little. You know, there are some things that they need to be tested, and we want to make sure that they work right before we, you know, let everybody have, you know, access to it. So there are more things coming.
Okay, but like honestly, and no offense, Bungie, but it's not nearly as bad as Bungie's forums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's still almost on par with you know, with some of the hot stuff forums. So it's cool. Yeah. And we got a lot of other features in there as well. So I think Captain Crunk did a awesome job. You guys agree?
Yeah, it's kick-ass.
Yeah.
Totally.
For sure.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Man, the podcast was great as it is, but it's even sweeter now that there's really great forums and a great website to go to. I mean, I don't know about you guys. I think that thing's awesome.
Yeah.
It's an easier way to connect with people and, hey, look at my buddy list. This is all the people I know and stuff. It's another way to keep in touch. Yeah. It's like my extended friend list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, private messaging and all, too. It's really sweet.
Totally.
Well, the way I kind of see it is it kind of functions as something for, you know, for everybody to do, like, in between the shows, you know. Once they listen to the show, well, they can go to the site and, you know, kind of just get with everybody there until the next show comes out.
Makes perfect sense. Yeah, yeah, totally. And for the clans to get to there and everything, too. Speaking of which, on the clans, we have a new clan system, you guys, that we're really excited about here at Podtacular. We have two types of clans now. We have our recreational clans. Those are like the hang loose clans that don't have a level requirement or anything like that. Anybody that wants in, wants to hang with Podtacular listeners, that's cool, we'll let you in. And we got a couple of those. We also have our pro clans, which are those people that are, like, super competitive and want to get in internal Podtacular tournaments, want to have bragging rights as, like, the top Podtacular clan and all that stuff, and the top person from each pro clan will be invited into the Podtacular All-Stars. And the Podtacular All-Stars compete with, you know, whether it be other podcasts or other clans and stuff like that. So, you know, you get to be part of that team as well. So we're really pumped about this new system, and we got, you know, like right on the website in there on podtacular.com on the right side, there's a link on there that says request a clan invite, and if you guys want to be in a recreational clan, you can get in that way. If you want to be in a pro clan, you can start out in the recreational clan, and then, you know, when you show potential, get recruited from there into one of the pro clans, because that's like a rule we have going on, is pro clans have to recruit from the recreational clans. So, what do you guys think of this? Are you on with me on that, how cool that system is, or what?
I love it. I think it's a really good way to organize everything. Custom Saturday goes with rec clans. Pro clans are mostly in the tournaments and stuff. I might still keep throwing some Custom Saturdays here and then, just because, you know, I'm a cat and mouse fan to the soul. me and noob here.
No problem.
Yeah,
you're quite a mouse.
It's awesome. Yeah,
impossible to kill.
Somehow, I don't know. I don't even know how I do it, but
well, yeah, dude. Yeah, we're really pumped about these clans, though. And you guys can feel free to join in if you want, whether it be a recreational clan or eventually get recruited by a pro clan, and then who knows, maybe you're good enough to get into All Stars. So, you know, kind of a couple different levels for you guys to hang out there if you guys are listeners of Podtacular. So,
good stuff.
Yeah, I just wanted to say too, like, I'm the Podtacular Pro E Overlord, and some of you other overlords have been messaging us trying to get into our clan, like JVB, Kilobyte, some of you guys. I just want to encourage you guys to kind of stay with your clan. So, I mean, that's not cool. So.
I haven't got that yet.
Well, anyway, hey, we are recording this on Thursday, and the Podtacular All-Stars had their first match on Saturday. How did it go? Well, we don't know, because it's Thursday.
Oh, I know. I can see the future.
Yeah, how'd it go, man?
Took a guess.
I don't know. I think somebody won.
Nice.
I'm not sure which team, but somebody won. There we go.
I don't even know who they're playing.
Know.
Who are they playing?
No. I'm not going to be there on Saturday.
You had to ask me that, because
so
I didn't have the details.
If it doesn't matter. If we lose, it's going to be because I wasn't there, okay, guys? We'll call a rematch when I can.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, I see. If we lose, it's a rematch. Yeah. Well, we'll post it on the site anyway. We'll have the details on there. And we also have the Podtacular Tournament going on Saturday, same day. And guess what? Same thing. We're recording before Saturday. Crap.
And I won't be at the tourney, so you guys, your dreams have been fulfilled.
There's some people
you won't
up,
have
though.
To worry about and in future,
and in future tourneys, we're going to have those just for the pro clan, so it's going to be, I think it's going to be a lot more interesting,
yeah.
Because it's going to have the pro clans that have been practicing together the whole time, yeah, a lot more competitive, the whole thing, so that's going to be cool. Hey, did you guys hear about this? I don't know if you knew about this. This dude, Mark Portrays, just randomly sent Podtacular $50 as a donation the other day.
That's awesome.
So much. Cool. I was like, yes, pay for hosting, right on. So, hey.
Wow.
I sent $4
nice,
one
thanks.
Time.
Yeah.
Spellcheck sent me a thank you email.
Sweet.
It's all I had in my account.
Well, if you guys want to send us a donation too, for the heck of it, whatever, buy us a beer or something. You can click the PayPal link on the site, and you don't have to send $50, though.
You can
send $1 billion if you want.
Yeah, not just 50.
$1 billion.
And 50
1
isn't
million
the limit here.
Dollars.
You can go crazy. We don't care. Just give us money.
Or you can send less. Whatever. I don't care. But, yeah, so thanks to Mark Portray for that.
That's cool.
Let's see here. Why don't we get on to some noob
Ooh,
tips.
Noob
Filthy
tips.
Noob, you want to do this one here?
Yeah, since you're the noob.
All right. Spotstart says, if you're stuck with a plasma grenade, you should fire randomly while screaming for the amusement of all those around
That's
you.
That's awesome. That's entertaining
nice.
Me, you know, guys.
Yeah. I don't know how much that's going to help, but yeah, it's fun for
maybe,
everybody
Maybe
else.
You could distract the other team, and then you get somebody that just pwns the whole team. I don't know. Maybe something like that. That'd be funny to see. That sort of reminds me of that one time I already talked about where I was teabagging a whole bunch of people in the game, and then when they saw me die, they start teabagging me, and then a teammate stuck them and got a double kill. That reminds me of that. I thought that was awesome.
All right. 68 State says, perfect Slayer strategy. If you want to win at Team Slayer, you can, and it's that easy. It's only a couple easy steps to follow. Step one, get your notepads out, guys. Kill the other team. He said this is the most important part of it.
Wow.
And step two, which is also important, if you have more kills than the other team, there's a good chance you will probably win. So
maybe
yeah.
Gosh, I don't think I've ever even heard that one before.
Yeah, those are new to me. Blows me away what this guy knows.
Bungie should probably put that on the site.
Yeah. That would, you know, bite so many rumors about matchmaking. Wow. It's like, how do you win? I don't understand why I lost rank after I won. It happened to me actually a couple nights ago, but...
Our next one, Hammer Time says, when you see a person behind you on the radar, instead of turning around, because by then you'll be almost dead, jump backwards and put them in the position you were. It saved me multiple times. That's a good tip,
I've
though.
I've done that a couple times before. It surprises them.
You can duck a little bit, too. Sometimes that helps a little bit.
Sometimes in coagulation, I'll be running across the field, and if I know they have snipers, I'll just duck out of nowhere. And it's actually funny sometimes, because I'll just be running in the field, duck out of nowhere. Sniper shot. It's like, guys, I got sniper. I just about got sniped. And it's pretty funny to watch.
It's all the noob tips, so I guess everything else is going to be pro tips today.
Yeah.
So we have a whole bunch of general tips here. We have a million from Nick of Time. He has a whole bunch of button combo guides. So here's a start off. You have your sword cancel, which is just right trigger and X. This maneuver can only be done by sword. When the reticle is red, press R and X at the same time, and it will appear as if you're about to kill the enemy, but you will not. You'll just lunge at him. This is a common maneuver when glitching and getting on top of or out of maps and towers that are usually impossible to get with the regular jump. And then before the big update, they had the sword rocket glitch where you'd use a reticle of the rocket and you could swap them together, and then anyways, you'd glitch and you'd be able to get on top of the headlong easily, and anyways, that was fun.
Hmm.
That was awesome. Did you do that ever, Fumo? You guys?
Yeah. Yeah, we did that like a few times on Zanzibar and stuff like that, where you like zoom in and then quickly switch a sword and you can like fly away probably like, jeez, I don't know, like 500 feet
anywhere.
Or so. You can go crazy distances. Yeah, but then the other one was the one where you're in the Jeep and you swipe at someone when your target reticle's red and everything.
Oh,
you're
in
the passenger seat and then you drive across the map, get out of the Jeep, you go flying across the map. That was pretty awesome.
That was fun. That was awesome. I love that one.
Yeah.
And then, you can still actually do. You can still actually get on top of headlong, but a different part of headlong though.
Hmm.
And I've only done it once since. But anyways, if you're in a custom game, ask me how the hell I did it. So then, now we have our quick reload, which is XYY or XB. After a certain time in a reload animation, the weapon is reloaded. Press YY and enables you to fire again. This also works to cancel out the sword's reload time, since there is a period of waiting after a sword lunge. If you don't have a secondary weapon, YY, switch back and forth. Press X, and after the weapon is reloaded, press B to melee. It depends on the animation. Like for rockets, I know this is useful because it takes about maybe 2 seconds to reload the rockets. So right when you put that rocket pack, like your rocket ammo, right into the rocket, you press B and then just shoot, and you should be fine. That saves me a couple times.
Nice.
I don't actually use XYY or XB for anything but the rockets, if I remember it. But So then cancel reload. During reload, you might decide you want to open fire again. Press YY before the weapon has reloaded. You can continue fire with the ammo left. Sure. If it worst comes to worst, you don't want to reload.
Yeah, that works on what? Sniper, BR, carbine,
sniper,
stuff like that, right?
Yeah, it would probably work for those like sniper shots, and you're like, I reloaded too soon. Sometimes I do that with a BR too. I'm like, because I thought I had the timing right, where I timed the shot with his death, and for some laggy reason, it won't cooperate with me. So
yeah.
It actually happened with me. I was playing a SWAT game with JVB, and I like shot him in the head a whole bunch of times. I'm like, he should be dead, and he didn't die. And then I was like, stop reloading. and then out of nowhere, JVB just dropped dead. I'm like, wow. It wasn't laggy either. It was just JVB. I right after he died, I'm like, son of a bling.
Son of a.
Yeah. it was an odd moment. So then we have our double melee, which is your BXB. As soon as your melee has hit your opponent and the damage is done, you can cancel the rest of your animation with X and melee again. I've been actually trying to do that lately, and I've been having a hard time because I have to move my other hand back over there because I can't really do it that well because my thumbs are sort of double jointed. But that's a good one. The most ways I kill people in MLG nowadays, I like jump in the air, beat them down, and then shoot them once in the head, and they're pretty much dead. Or I side beat them down, and I get an assassination for it, which I like that.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how that works, huh? You can get them at like 90 degree angle, and you can still get like an assassination medal in the whole deal, and you hit them in one shot.
It mostly happens to me when somebody jumps in the air, and I'm just a slightly to the side of them. I press B, and then what? Assassination? Okay, I'll take it.
Yeah.
No complaints. Then we have our switch melee, which is BYB. As soon as your melee has hit your opponent and the damage is done, you can switch to your other weapon with Y and melee with that weapon again.
Hmm.
Okay. That's neat.
All right. Taking up some more here. We got the melee fire, which is BX and the right trigger. As soon as your melee has hit your opponent and the damage is done, you can cancel the rest of the animation and with X and open fire again. If done correctly, it'll seem like a melee and a shot at the same time. This has to be done with a full clip. And if performed correctly, with the battle rifle,
those are hard.
It'll
That's
result
a hard one.
In an instant
it's
kill.
It's hard, and you have to have a full clip, and you have to have the battle rifle because you have to have like one with a headshot, one kill headshot thing, or you know, a pistol or something like that. So it's kind of, it's hard to get close enough with a full clip without firing at someone.
Yeah, and then missing on top of that.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, next, melee snipe, which is a B, X, and right trigger. And this trick is meant to use your melee lunge as an auto-aim for your sniper in order to successfully no-scope. Works the same way as melee fire, but try to press X before hitting your opponent. Because
you can
then you'll
do
have
that
to
reverse too.
You'll
like,
have
sometimes
full
when
use
I'm
of
on
the
lockout,
lunge.
I'll have the sniper, I'm going up the ramp, and then somebody will be there, and I'll shoot, no-scope them, and just press B, and then he's dead. And I find that useful. So it, that would just be R and B. Yeah.
R and B.
Where's the
M
button?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know.
Rhythm and blues.
It's hidden. It's only on 360 controllers.
You gotta take it apart, man.
All right.
Yeah. It's behind the X and Y, anyways.
Oh man, gotta get one of those. Okay, we got the melee stuck. I guess that's sticky. With the, it's B, X, and L trigger, and when you lunge towards an opponent for the melee, you can cancel the full animation in order to use the lunge towards your enemy to get a plasma grenade attached. Works best when the melee has not hit yet, since then you're still moving towards him. Just make sure to back off fast so you don't kill yourself.
Sometimes. I'll pick somebody and they press B and I get blown up with them like, oh, crap.
So you're lunging and then you stop before you hit him and stick him?
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. That's like a fake right
I guess
there.
So. That's that seems pretty tricky. I wouldn't want to be next to that guy. All right, let's see. We got the double grenades, which is let's see, charge, right trigger, pause, left trigger,
yeah,
left trigger.
I hope so, man, because that's not making sense so far.
Charge button.
How do you guys remember all these?
I remember even to this day is up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, A, B, select, start.
Okay, I got lost at top, but anyway.
So
that'd be old like me to know that one.
Yeah,
I need to make like a list next to my TV
pause
with
game.
All this stuff.
Okay,
on.
What am I supposed to do here?
Right, print it out.
Yeah, I know.
Let me check out my list.
You get assassinated from the side.
All right, let's see. When you release a plasma bolt after the pistol is charged, or when another plasma weapon has overheated, like the beam rifle and the plasma rifle, wait 1 second. Press left trigger, in order to throw two grenades rapidly after each other. Okay, with the right timing, you can throw them at almost the same time. You can also set traps with this, deliberately missing a plasma shot, then surprising your opponents with a rain of grenades. The rain of grenades. You can switch back to your battle rifle, but only after your first grenade is thrown.
I'm like, how the hell did I do that? I just blame it on leg, or I have host. Or something, but
yeah,
I know.
So it's.
Oh yeah, and painkiller words.
Modder.
Somehow.
You
modded
me.
Everybody's
a modder.
So you're deliberately missing a plasma shot, so you can throw two grenades at almost the same time.
You mean
right?
A rain of grenades.
Sorry, rain of grenades.
That should be an option for like the juggernaut.
A rain of grenades. That's
rain
right.
Rain of grenades on. Infinite plasma
it's
grenades.
Like, we're gonna make it rain out here.
That'd be awesome.
Auto grenade.
Rain of pain.
Nice. All right, and now we've got the dual grenades, which
we've got double and dual.
Not double grenades. It's dual grenades.
It gets technical.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Let's see. Can you throw them with both hands?
Yeah.
And kick them.
That'd be nice. That's left trigger, Y, B, and left trigger. Now, I guess this only works on host. So, let's see. Not to be confused Let's see. Not to be confused, but...
Yeah, nice grammar
to
there, buddy.
To be combined with the double nade. Okay. Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. The dual nades is an entirely different trick that uses the picking up and dropping of dual wieldable weapons to cancel the time intersection between two grenade throws. Basically, you stand on a dual wieldable weapon, I guess like a pistol or SMG, holding a dual wieldable weapon, Press L to throw your first grenade. Hold Y to pick up the dual wieldable weapon. I'm going to say that like 1,200 times. All right, so you hold Y. You hold Y to pick it up. B to melee and throw the weapon away. And then L to grenade again, or left trigger to grenade again. So I guess that has to be done pretty quickly. With the boxer settings, this would equal left.
Yeah, don't confuse us, dude, with the not you, Captain Crunk, but the writer. Don't confuse us with these boxer settings now, because you're giving us you're giving us button combos, and we're assuming the default settings, and now we're like, oh, yeah, great. Are these all different now?
Does anybody use that?
Yeah.
Oh, these are all the same, but for different settings.
You have triple slots, like have three weapons on you. It's actually very close to that. It's just like you hold your dual-wieldable weapon, then you go towards the other dual-wieldable weapon. Now, I'm not sure if they can be the same or not. I haven't tinkered around with it. A's for Apple has showed me this glitch and stuff. So what you do, you walk towards it, and you press grenade, and right when you're on top of the weapon, you keep pressing Y, and then so what happens is that you're picking up the weapon as a dual wieldable, but you're changing it, so then it just shows up as three slots. You only can do this when you're not host, though. And then so you can have your plasma pistol, and then your BR. And,
oh, gosh.
I do it for fun, just so I know it's able to be done, but...
That's awesome. So you have three different weapons all in reserve, right?
Yeah.
Or, well, one and then two in reserve.
The only problem with that, you can't dual wield you can't dual wield your plasma pistol with a needler or something like that. It won't let you. The only way to get out of the triple slot is you have to press B, and then that other weapon will just pop right out of your face.
Crazy.
I'd have to show you in a custom game. It's hard.
Wow. But do you really need three weapons?
Now, I got a question for you guys that use this stuff a lot. I'm a noob, but I don't that much. But yeah. Now, how much would you actually say this stuff helps you get kills during a real game?
I would say that sniper
one that
I do. And
which ones are the most effective, would you say?
No scope, because when you no scope them, you're like really close up to them, for my case, most of the time, to enable that beatdown. So that beatdown, like when you snipe them and then beat them down, that beatdown's already directed at him, because you just no-scope him, you have that slight auto-aim, and you're already going towards him. I find that one useful. Yeah. Which other one would be quite useful?
I think the question is, do you use any of these, Samir? Because, I mean, I don't. I don't have the time, like, in an instant to remember these freaking
button
combos.
I would say BXB and the melee snipe I was talking about are probably quite most quite useful. Other than that, if you're not good at them, you're probably going to end up dying in the end. Like,
see, that's the thing. Like, we really appreciate the person sending this in, because these are really awesome, and that's why we wanted to read through every single one, because they're great. But I mean, unless I would have to practice at them a lot to be able to get these down in an instant.
Yeah, they're good to know. They're good to know.
That's the key. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I was just wondering if some of these things, like separate
most
some of the good players
I know,
from the great players, or if it's just
a
different
strategy. They know most of these. They know how to use them, but I don't think they use them on and on. Like, I know some people use that BXR, but that one is quite useful. I think they know them, but I rarely see it happen. BXB, I see that happen quite a bit. I get owned quite a bit by that BXB in close encounters, but... The other stuff, I don't know. I don't encounter it. The BXB is a big one. That melee snipe's a big one. Yeah. I don't see RRX, but that's the next one. Yeah.
Sure.
All right. So we got one last one here. Double fire, which is right, and then
X. It is hard.
And this one is the hardest one of all. Quickly press right trigger, then as soon as you have your right trigger unreleased again, quickly squeeze it again, this time hold. Quickly after the controller has registered the start of the holding, press X.
Yeah, his grammar's a little off.
Okay. in order to have the two shot bursts out at the same time or rapidly following each other. Timing is crucial. There's about 1/10 of a second to do so, and within that second pace of the shots is also determined. You will know it's successful when you see no reloading animation.
I've done this one before.
With six bullets less.
I don't see where it really come good in place, because two shots won't do a difference. You shoot them faster, right? Maybe in SWAT or something, but still, I've done it before, well, and you don't see the reloading action, which is quite neat, but the only problem when you're reloading, you can't shoot, obviously. You don't see it happen. Because that RRX, the X cancels out the animation. Go ahead, Fumo.
Right.
The thing is, if you're playing an MLG game or something like that, and you're counting shots on how many you got on them and how many they got left, if you can get the jump on them, let's say you both start at the same time, both firing at each other, you're both firing headshots, all that stuff, then it's the first of four shots.
Usually, yeah.
So basically, if you can pull this off before they can, you know. So that's where it comes in handy, I think, is MLG type games.
Yeah.
The only problem is when you screw up, you screw up bad. Like, it's going to cost you.
And then the finish is...
Yeah, for real.
Would some of these be good to maybe do on Pod TV
at some point? Yeah, that would be probably like a perfect idea to show. That would be quite neat.
Cool.
Are you listening, Freaking Above?
I mean, for some of us that don't use them, you know, that much, like, it would be a good way to learn.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. I want to see triple or quad wielding needlers too.
I've heard of that. I've never actually done it. I haven't seen it, but I've heard of it.
I've seen it. Like, I've seen someone. It doesn't look any different as far as I could tell, but they were just owning with needlers. It was really bizarre.
Yeah.
Anyway, you're finishing off, Kim?
Could you see, like, a multiple shots of it? Like, was it just a rain of needlers?
It didn't hardly look any different, except for it seemed, I mean, it just killed him faster, pretty much.
Yeah. Like, needlers are pretty good. The only problem I find with them, they just don't kill fast enough. Like, for the average dual-wieldable combo, it usually takes about 2 seconds to kill somebody. Like, head-on, head-on, like, one-on-one, no, like, head start or anything. It usually takes about 2 seconds. And needlers, I don't know, they're just not accurate enough. Like, if they were accurate enough and shot a little faster, they would be a really good combo.
That's what I was going to say, is that if they shot a little faster. Because I think that's the problem, is that they track a little bit. They don't track quite well enough, and they don't go fast enough. So if both of those were a little bit better, then they'd be even with the other guns. But maybe that's kind of the thing, you know. I kind of don't mind a gun that's not as even as all the guns, because if they're all perfectly even, it would just be kind of weird.
Takes the fun out of it.
Yeah, and it's like there's guns that are good and there's guns that are not as good, and that's fair, you know.
Yeah.
So, kind of like real life.
The only bad part of it, nobody's ever going to use it.
Yeah, I hate the rocket launcher and the sniper. Horrible.
It's fun, though. You know, it's sometimes like on Tower Power when you have needlers. That's a blast.
Oh, yes. My God.
Definitely.
Just everyone's like, shoot the turret! Shoot the turret!
Oh, my God.
You see just this rain of needlers. You're just like, oh, God. Are we going to survive this? And, oh, my God. I have to do one of those again. That's awesome. Dude. Those are so
remember that
fun.
One we played a little while back where everybody, like, went on the launch pad? What do you call it? The
Banshee pad?
Yeah, the right by the Banshee, yeah.
And they would walk through that hallway, and then everyone would just team up there and just keep shooting their needlers, and then people would blow up because of needler explosions, and all these bodies are flying all over.
Your frame rate drops to, like 5 frames a second, because, like, there's so many freaking needles on the screen, and, yeah.
And then everyone's dying, bodies are flying, explosions are happening.
Yeah.
And then you have the turret blaring. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Those are fun. Those are fun.
Those are fun, yeah.
Well, we got one here from Exifist, who says, in any setting that involves sniping many targets, I find it beneficial that instead of just sniping a target in the head or wasting two shots on the body, I just shoot them in the body and then finish my target off with a quick BR switch. I find this to help a lot in coagulation because you need a lot of ammo and don't want to have to walk back to get more.
You know what I love?
So that's pretty cool.
I love having Host on coagulation because he could shoot somebody from across the map and you actually hit him.
Gosh, yeah.
That's what I like. I hate that.
There's nothing more irritating than when you know you got them in the head like 2-3 times and still don't die.
And you just don't get them. Yeah. You sort of have to, like, put the aimer a little more ahead of them to hit them. It's really hard. Yeah.
It's an awesome way to save on ammo, though.
Yeah, that is a good way. The only thing about toys, though, they have that ammo that keeps respawning, so you don't have to worry about it that much, but...
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. If you can stay in that area.
Yeah.
Exodus also has one that he says he has a very tight group of players that he rolls with. And over the past year of playing, they developed a code that they talk in. For instance, 2319 says that's a Halo 1 Maw reference, which means that a sniper is in the tower. And not only does it let them keep the enemy clueless, it also allows them to confuse the enemy. And when he knows that an enemy is nearby that can hear him, he also says, "Hey guys," and this is his team clue. That what he's about to say is only to confuse the enemy. So, like, he would say, "Hey, guys, yeah, rush the sides, and I'll take the back." Developing a working code has completely changed the way he plays Halos, and he suggests we try doing that. What do you guys think of that?
You know, not only does he keep the enemies clueless, he keeps his teammates clueless.
Yeah, a little too complicated for me.
Like, yeah, I could see, like, the enemy, "Hey, guys" thing. I could see that working out really good. But I don't know, the whole code thing, I'd be lost after you say, like, 23. I'd
there's
be like,
too
what?
Many levels.
Yeah, there's way too many reference points you could use.
Yeah.
43, 37, hut, hut.
I mean, I could see him doing that. Yeah. Like,
it's like, I got the oddball. Go, go, go.
Like a pro, you know, like a pro tournament.
Go on the round!
Like, I could see him doing it in, like, a pro tournament, you know, something like that. But just Xbox Live, that's a little bit too much for me.
Well, if you have a group that you roll with, I guess if it works with you guys.
I mean,
yeah, but
that's the thing. If everybody can get into it, awesome. If not, not so awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
But moving on to one from Ep Matswa, which is BR versus shotgun, and he's saying many people use a shotgun above anything else besides sniper or rockets. However, the BR is usually a better option. The shotgun's damage is unrealistic, and you almost have to stick the shotgun in the enemy's mouth to get a kill. The BR, on the other hand, always kills in 4 bursts if you know how to use it. A BR can be used to take out a sniper by making him unzoom.
Oh, keep going. This is now the burping podcast of Halo 2.
Bad. Nice. Let's see, where the heck was I?
A sniper.
BR can you use to take out sniper by making him unzoom to kill other mid-rangers, and can usually kill a shotgun if the enemy doesn't surprise you by too much. I've seen many people get owned because they charge someone with only SMG when they could have picked up a BR and possibly lived. At higher levels, if you can't use a BR, you won't do very well.
If you can't use a BR, you probably won't be in the higher level.
Yeah, yeah. That's probably true.
Yeah.
No doubt.
BR is, like, essential.
Some people can own with shotguns, though. I don't understand it. Like,
it's a whole
either.
Connection thing. Like, if I'm just, like, for me, I got a whole new connection. If I still don't get connection host, I can still do quite the heavy-duty damage with a shotgun. I'm just guessing it's something to do with your connection.
Yeah.
How strong it is. Because I live, like, not even 100 meters away from the new server, so...
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same with needlers. I find that too. Needlers?
Yeah.
Speaking of more needlers.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let me take some. TriSpartan says, "Hey guys, I just said a silly fact. Okay, everybody knows about the medical bunker on Turf. Behind it, there's a wall. But look closely, it's actually a big closed door. If you strafe towards it till you touch it and stay there, the door frame is metal, so you can ricochet shots with a Covey or human sniper. The funny thing is it's kind of curvy, so your shot will go all over the place." He says one time he was playing with his brother. He watched it from the bunker. It made like 50 zigzag things, hit him in the head, in the back, and died. Let's see. Keep up the good work. Thanks for listening. Yeah, that's definitely a popular
one.
That'd
be funny to see.
I've never tried that. I got to see that happen, dude.
I think there's a glitch. I remember this dude doing on zombies. Whenever the zombies would get nearby him and he didn't have enough ammo, he like knew how to commit suicide with his pistols. It was just funny.
Oh, gosh.
He'd just be walking, the zombie just swipes at him. He like gets killed by the guardians, gets respawned, and the zombie's like, "Huh? What?" It's just a fucking thing.
Maybe I am a noob, like, but some of y'all got a lot of free time. Like I don't even. I love playing matchmaking or some cat and mouse, but those of y'all that sit around and do the sniping stuff just kind of blows my mind sometimes.
I have a lot of free custom time.
Reaping Raven says, I have some assault tips for you guys. When arming a bomb, try and drop it into the arming spot rather than crouch walking so you can take the enemies by surprise. Also, when you begin to arm the bomb, have your teammates make a lot of noise and distractions elsewhere. The reason for this is if the enemy is trying to defend grenades, sniper, rocket, and brute shot bullets, or grenades, sometimes they don't see the notice or notice the alert on the screen that the bomb is arming. There will be no further announcement that the bomb is arming. Next things they know, the bomb is armed and planted, and you've scored. And he says he's found these strategies have worked well in most matchmaking and custom games. So give him a try, and he wants us to give him a shout-out. So, what's up, Reaping Raven?
Yo, yo, yo.
let's see.
This is how we roll.
That's a really good
rolling
tip.
Down
I've
street.
Seen that been done really successfully on, like, let's say, Headlong or, like, not Coag as much, maybe Zanzibar, because a lot can go on really
yeah.
fast. And it's a good way to distract them.
Hey,
especially if you're screaming stuff. You're like, ah, blah, blah, blah. They're like, what's that? And you arm the bomb. That's awesome.
Dude.
Hey, in case you guys are wondering, too, Captain Crunk had to go. So, like, you're like, why is he not saying anything? He had to jam. So.
He died. No, he didn't die.
Hey,
technical difficulties.
Since you guys mentioned Zanzibar, I just got to say something really quick. I was coming in the base to get the flag one time, and there was five guys in there. I shot one in the head with the BR, and I jumped down with a sword and killed all four of the other guys the other day. It's pretty sweet. I just want
nice.
Just wanted to mention that. So anyway, all right.
So you got, like, a kill tag.
They were all standing in a line trying to run up the incline, and I just ran behind them.
They probably had this whole army thing going on
with the sword. I killed them all. It was awesome.
Left two.
PSN Viper says, "I play on sensitivity 9, and I'm an okay sniper. Others say I'm awesome." But with the high sensitivity, I can spin around fast and avoid anyone sneaking up behind me while I'm sniping. With that high sensitivity, you do lose some control over accuracy, but you move your thumbstick slower, you have more control. I use this high sensitivity. Others think I'm crazy, but it really works for me if things get hairy real fast. What do you guys think about that?
That's crazy.
I think he's crazy.
Personally, I play with a 5 or a 4. Right now, I think I'm on a 4, but I'm going to try to up it a notch again, just so I can get used to that, because it is good for sniping in a way, I find. But if I play on a lower one, I usually can get my headshots a lot easier.
Now, how often do you really have the sniper? Like, unless you're just a sniper whore, like, most of the time I find myself with a BR, so...
Yeah. It depends what you usually end up with. If you're not a good sniper, I don't know, I'd say stick with a lower sensitivity, maybe. Even a 3. I find 3 is pretty low. Like, sometimes I'll forget to, like, change it if I'm using a different account.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's up with this? How come I'm playing so crappy?
Now, some people
and then realize it's sensitivity.
I use a 4 myself. I've tried to go up to a 5 and even a 6, and I just can't handle it. My aim reticle's just all over the place.
Yeah.
But some people, I've seen, like, videos where people just memorize the button presses, and they can go and change their sensitivity on the fly. So when you just get another weapon, you just boop, 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 change your sensitivity. Yeah.
That's
which
crazy.
Is kind of crazy,
though.
Do
that.
Yeah.
That would just be way too different, because let's say you die and you forget to change
yeah.
it and stuff like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
And you can't really do that
annoying.
In competitive games unless you're in a huge level or something.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's only really...
Even then, you could probably get sniped in the head.
I would think you would probably only want to do that is, like, you pick up sniper, you bring it down to 3, you know, you drop it, you switch back, so... Cause...
Man, that would suck for a random game, a Fiesta.
Yeah.
Every time
gosh.
You respawn with a new weapon, oh, I have to change it.
Yeah, that would get old.
Like, constantly changing it back and forth.
Anyways, Alien Flames, he says, this tip takes practice. If you're forced into tight quarters with a one-on-one fight, shoot normally, and if your opponent starts coming into you to beat you down, to finish you off, quickly click down the left thumbstick. This crouches you right under your enemy's melee attack, allowing you a perfect melee right back at them to finish them off. Also, when playing on Xbox Live, don't just look at your radar, but on top of it as well. When people nearby you talk, it shows their name. Oh god, another burp.
What the heck was that?
Okay, anyways.
You're like,
I don't know.
Like a dump
tonic
in his
water
pain.
Speaking. Anywho, this is helpful if you suddenly see a red dot disappear on your radar and you still see the person's gamer tag over the radar. This lets you keep tracks of enemies sneaking around. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Same with the close quarters. That's why you sort of try to aim down for, like, their crotch or, like, their abs. Beat them down like that so you don't miss them.
Yeah.
And they could always... I don't know. Anyways. And also, he says, on levels such as Lockout that have snipers, remember that snipers are powerful close-range weapons, too. Hide near a corner, and as your unsuspecting prey comes around, get up close and... Get up close and personal with him and blast him or her with the sniper. Quickly follow through with a beatdown and voila, a quick kill. Great for catching people with swords off guard.
Hmm.
That's awesome. I love beating down the sword guy because it's supposed to be the opposite way around where they beat you down.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that doesn't
sometimes
always happen.
Yeah, really.
BXB them and they just get pissed because they're like, ah! they're just screaming.
I didn't know where you were going with that one like when you started talking about getting up close and personal with them. Kind of started freaking me out a little bit.
Oh, yeah. That's why you're known as the dirty noob. We didn't make that up for nothing. Anyways, Rogen Roadkill. He says, in objective games, don't rely on plan to work out. In most team games, most teams have a rift formed between two sides when a plan fails. Your team should have at least three subdivisions of players. Each team can get certain supplies allocated to them, including weapons and vehicles. And grenades. All the time should execute their plans at the same time to overwhelm the enemy defense. This is the easiest way to end an objective game. This can work on the defensive side, but it has to be done very quickly. Yeah, especially on, like, headlong, where rockets are a little harder to get. But anyways. If there's a grenade thrown at you, shoot at it. If you use something that sprays, and if you have a good enough shot, chances are you'll hit it, detonate it in the air, and saving your ass. This is actually, I think, Filthy, you mentioned that tip earlier where you shoot a little left to the head. Yeah, well, if you do that with SMGs too, SMGs are better because it's more you spray and you pray that it's going to hit them. And then with the BR, I've done that a couple times where you aim. If you're really good at aiming your headshots, you can just shoot that grenade right in their face and like, ah! I get that happen to me, and it's...
I really agree with that the first tip you gave, just about how not letting everybody hog everything, because definitely, capture the flag in the assault games where one guy gets... Like, I've seen the guys, they all jump in the Warthog. I swear, every time they go near the assault area, it's like somebody's with the rockets, kills them all, blows the crap out of the Warthog, and everybody's just like,
And you're all screwed. They're waiting for that Warthog to appear again.
And then everybody runs across the field all by themselves and just get picked off by the snipers the whole rest of the round.
Yeah, I've seen that happen quite a bit, too. The only way you can come back on those pretty much is if you have good people on your team that can take out the guys. Like, a good strategy for, like, objective game types would just be to, like, take out a couple members out of the team first. Like, maybe not the sniper that's far away. Because let's say he runs out of ammo and then he has to run there. And then you can knock him off then. And still, if you knock the people out at base, then you can easily arm it, and he won't be able to take you out. Like, let's say on Coag, because you're in the base. Sniper can't snipe you, because you're in the base. Anyways, go ahead, Fumo.
Well, moving on to some CTF strategies here, and starting on with our map of the month, being Terminal. And this is kind of the in-depth edition, where we break it down by game type. So hopefully this will help you guys out and keep a little more organized. To start out, I want to mention a CTF strategy that is my favorite strategy for this map because it works, and it's really awesome. The way this starts is after you get the flag. So, you know, get in there however you need to. It kind of starts when that ends. I have one guy, so it's kind of like, first grab the flag. Have one guy climb to the second floor of the garage and to the right where the drop-off is. And the flag grabber can run back towards that area, jump up, and throw the flag up, and the guy up there waiting grabs it. They can't follow you because they'd have to go around the entire map to get to you, and the flag grabber usually dies right when he throws it, but as long as he can get it out of his hands, he's cool. That's awesome, dude.
I've seen that happen, and that sucks.
it sucks that the guys are like,
if we still have the Wraith up, they just keep shooting up there. We're usually okay, because then by the time we can kill off the guys that are trying to still get it.
Yeah. But, well, if you can detect it early enough, but if you can't tell what they're going to do, you know, and then the guy runs out there, and you're like, why is he running out there? And then he jumps and throws it, and, you know, people are following him, shooting at him, but as long as he can get it out of his hands, then usually the Wraith's not firing there because they got three guys right there. So
I like these strategies that always say, like, this starts after you get the flag, because I've heard strategies that are like, take a...
That's a little more accurate, too.
They're like, take out the next couple guys you see, and it's all dependent that you don't get killed by any of those guys along the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because half the time your team doesn't back you up. Yeah. Like, he died, who cares, whatever. Let's keep going. And then you all die, and they're like, okay, go kill that guy, and screw you, and all this stuff. Anyways, so Chemo23, he says, for one flag CTF, defense, guys, it's a big advantage. You have the Wraith, Rockets, and Sniper all by you, but don't get cocky with it. Leaving the base is the biggest mistake for the defending team. It leaves them open to an in-and-out Warthog capture, so stay in the base and you're home free. Yeah, don't try to spawn kill them either. I've done that on Burial Mounds, and it's totally backfired. Only once, though, only once. Anyways, on offense, don't rush your attack. It leads to a waiting for another Warthog to respawn. Damn it! Situation. Try to take out the Wraith first and foremost, then have a team go in the parking structure and try to take out any remaining enemies. Then come in with the Hog. If you have your hands on the flag before the Hog arrives, throw it into the open area under the train tracks facing your base. Once it's out there, they can't stop you from capturing. What's actually good if your offense is to actually do the other way around, to rush the attack, because the team could be totally unprepared, and you could actually... I've had this twice in the same, like we were playing 6v6. We had Headlong capture the flag twice, and we won the game with two captures both times, because we just rushed it. And we had really good people on the team. I think G-Lewis was there, but G-Lewis is a noob.
Hey, let me ask you a question. I was thinking about something. Those are stickies right in the entrance to that, to the defender's base, right? The two...
The two BRs are?
Those
are stickies, yeah.
The objective area.
Defender? Okay, which part? Like, is it near the
turret? Yeah, right
on
the other side
of
the turret.
Part? Like, the train. Does
anybody ever just grab the stickies? Because the Warthog is going to park, like, right in front of that place.
I always try to grab stickies. Like, on Burial Mounds, those stickies right next to the turret, I always grab those because I'm always going to be defending the base on defense. And it's always fun to stick a Warthog because you see it go around a wheel and it's like...
I never see anybody sticking the Warthog in Terminal for some reason. So.
Oh, you haven't? We have to play more often together.
Everybody always just runs and grabs, like, the Sniper, the Wraith, the Shotgun. It's like people forget about the stickies sitting right there.
Grenades are really good. They're like your miniature rocket launcher on hand. That's what I love grenades. They're really powerful. Underestimated, I think, for some people. So, Painkill05, he's also...
Noob.
He's a modder. Okay, guys? Just so you know, he mods. He mods me all the time. Okay, here's another of Painkiller's big team battle strategy. Step 1. 3 people board the Warthog. Bomb guy, passenger, if it's assault. The Warthog goes under the tracks as shown in the picture below. Okay, Painkiller, maybe next time you give us a tip like this,
give us
a picture. Come on, man. We can't show
We're
pictures on the podcast.
Yeah.
What are you, like, a modder? We can't mod you a picture. You drive the Hog out of the tunnel. You drive the Hog out of the tunnel and make a hard right into the base and one of the fallen. If assault, slow down enough so the bomb guy can get out and start arming. The second he's out, drive the Hog out into the other opening, which should be in front of you at this point, and start attacking their Wraith. If all goes according to plan, by the time the enemy will realize you rush them, it'll be way too late. In CTF, drive right up to the flag and passenger jumps out, grabs the flag, and jumps back in. The driver floors into the track and makes a hard left right out of the front of the terminal and into your base, in which you'll score and the whole other team will be like, WTF. You know, what the fudge. I do this strategy all the time and it works
against
90%
noobs.
Of the time. Yeah.
It's because you mod.
And he also mods, so that's probably
yeah, he's
why.
Got a scarab gun, so it kind of comes in handy, you know.
Yeah, you know. Most of the time. Sometimes he commits suicide. I've seen that happen. Anyways, G-Boy the Great, he says, when you're on offense in CTF or assault, you can make a sneaky entrance by going to the second floor of the parking garage and taking the passage there. This puts you right behind the flag and the plant spot. This is also a great way to take out the Wraith tank if you have rockets. Just watch out for other team above you. And also, a good tip to take out, like, any sort of vehicle, mostly the Wraith, I find, is to have dual SMGs. So at first, you'll shoot them with your dual SMGs until one of them until you think enough shots have been put into him, and if you have stickies, just stick the Wraith since it's a big enough target, and you usually can take him on. I do that, yeah. Sometimes I just go one-on-one on the Wraith, and I just have dual SMGs, and then I'll have grenades on me, and I'll just chuck grenades at it, and that thing will blow up. SMGs are underestimated against vehicles. Same with Banshee. I use a shotgun against the Banshee once, and I owned it. It was pretty funny.
I always find it funny how easy it is to take out the Wraith with rockets. Like, it's always sitting over there trying to act defensive. I mean, it's not too
hard. You can always rush rockets on the on defense. Drop down the hole, go all the way down there, grab rockets, come back up, and it'll go on the right side, and look out there, and it's like, don't you know? I mean, rockets are going to come right over here.
That's... Majority of time I see Wraith dies is because of that one hole right next to the flag is, like that on top. I usually see him get raped from that corner. That's why I usually shoot there a couple times after I got that Warthog or Ghost Rush.
Let's see.
Anywho.
One in from the Drez. He says, if you're playing one flag CTF, make sure you take out the Wraith. Lots of exclamation points.
Speak of the
devil. It's pointless trying to capture the flag if you have a Wraith blasting mortars inside of the base. He says his best strategy is to take out the... his best strategy to take out the Wraith is to load up the Warthog, try to make sure the passenger has rockets, and don't take the straightaway. Let's see. And then jumping across the train tracks, take the ground route. They won't expect it. When you're facing the Wraith, drive in circles around the palm trees and whatnot to blast him and your gauss cannon and rockets. After you take out the Wraith, then go for the flag.
That's one way to do it.
Yeah.
That's good.
This tip is... there's one from White House. He's got a tip for CTF or assault. He says, when you're on offense, get into the ghost as fast as you can and drive to the front of the defensive base as fast as possible. If you get there fast enough... he just said fast three times... And the other team is unorganized, you will be able to pick up the Wraith. If you do this, you will keep the enemy from having the Wraith, have a Wraith for your team, and also be able to suppress the enemy in their base until the Warthog comes with the bomb. If you're about to die, try to blow up the Wraith so the enemy can't reclaim it. Along with this and the rockets, your team will have already won. And I agree that I've seen some people do this. Some guys that are really good with the ghost can steal it or actually just totally destroy it before you can even really get off the ground. So that's a really good strategy.
Yeah. So now we have tips for assault. And since
what crappy crunk.
Crap and crunk. Oh, my God. Crap and crunk. Since Cam Crunk has departed us due to difficulties, he has a tip. So on offense, I usually just grab the ghost and rush in, taking out either the turret or distracting the Wraith as long as possible, while the bomb carrier can either come in on a Warthog afterwards or through the parking structure. Doesn't always work as planned, but it usually provides just enough distraction to get the bomb either in or near the base. That'd also be good just to distract the the gauze. Like, I've seen a good technique where the bomb guy will go in the gauze and head towards base, but then he'll drop him off underneath the base, and then the gauze will come in after the ghost has died or is still distracting him, and then he'll just peg him off with the gauze cannon turret, and he usually dies, and I like that technique. It's pretty good. Sweet technique. I like it. Okay, now we have tips for Team Slayer, since all we had was...
yeah, there was a lot for assault, but it was kind of grouped together with CTS, so that works, so...
yeah, I guess. Chemo 23, he says, for Team Slayer BR, grab the Wraith. Okay, guys? Grab the Wraith. The two teams spawn at either the top room or the garage. Whichever team you're on, have at least two people rush the rockets. This is where the first action of the game occurs, and you don't want to be left alone. So grab the rockets. So grab the rockets and your sniper and defend or destroy the Wraith. If you're protecting, great job. The game is yours. If you are destroying, watch out for the sniper and take out the Wraith. Once this is done, regain the courtyard and wait for the next one to spawn. Now, rifles. First and foremost, if you spawn at the garage, keep your position. Have someone good get the sniper and have him look out of one of the second-story windows. If he takes out the enemy sniper, you are home free. Everybody else take up a position somewhere inside that garage, whether it be on the slanted walls or in a corner. Make sure you are not visible from any place outside of the garage. The sniper's other job is to tell his teammates if someone is coming from some direction. As soon as they step in, bam, they are hit with a barrage of bullets to the face. Or the rain of bullets,
pain.
Whatever.
Rain
of pain, indeed. Snipers. One good strategy that I've only seen being used once or twice is this one. Having two or three of your guys stand under the train tunnel near the Wraith. This provides excellent cover for the people inside and almost none for the people outside. Any enemies have to come straight in front of you to attack, and you're shrouded in the shadow, and they are in broad daylight. To protect attack from behind, have the remainder of the team sit somewhere on the top, preferably on the ledges.
Cool.
That's neat.
Well, moving on here, got one that I wrote down. One thing I do in this map is always rush for rockets, whether on defense or offense. On offense, you can rush for them with the Ghost. The problem is, they're usually already well underway with the Warthog by then, so when I'm on defense, I always kind of wonder what to do next when I get the rockets. If on offense, I'll climb up to the top and to the right and try to take out the Wraith, which I kind of mentioned before. But, yeah.
Have I mentioned the, what is it, the little tip to get the rockets faster
no.
if you're on defense?
What's that?
Not sure if I have, but... if you're on...
On offense, yeah.
No, my bad, offense.
Well, you mentioned it to me, but I don't think we mentioned it on the show, so go ahead.
Okay. So, you know where that little parking meter thing goes up and down?
Yeah, the barrier.
Yeah, so you go right against the window slot, and you can actually grab it right through the wall. If you guys don't know what I mean, I could show you in a custom game. Pretty crappy.
That's pretty cool, though. The little booth where the rockets like lean up against, you can walk around the outside on the left of it, on the opposite side from the doorway, and you can grab it right through the window.
Yeah, that's a better way to describe it.
Thanks for the applause there. Hey, cool.
Fancy. Bravo. You did better than I did. Fantasy Deluxe, he says, for Team Snipers, all your team has to do is get the lead and camp out on top of the level in the parking garage, but there's more specification to it. Each member has to camp on each corner of the level so your whole team has a view on the whole level. This strategy works really well. I'm done here, so
short
keep on freaking.
Yeah.
Indeed. Do blame, he says. If you get the sniper in any game type, don't sit by the turret above the Warthog's spawn. Takes the place. That's the place everyone goes to. Stand down next to the Warthog or Ghost and keep moving. Go up the ramps and use the side openings, but don't sit next to the turret. Hang out behind the raid spawn or up in the dirt road on the back of the map. Always keep an eye on the road people use a lot. I find the Warthog takes that road a lot. So it's pretty much untouched. Snipers are... That's like sniper haven. It's excellent. I also find if you're a sniper, you should find out where your people die on your team so you can take them out. So it's not a waste of a death there. That's a good tip. Filthy, you have a tip here, so you might as well go ahead with it.
All right, for Team Slayer on this map, I was thinking about it. I guess maybe I'm just kind of a defensive player, but this is a pretty huge map. So it's crucial to get good coverage since there are two sniper spawns. I just figure there's way too much open area to get sniped in unless you know for sure that you have at least one, if not both, snipers. I think a lot of times teams fail because they don't have good communication. And if you communicate well, you can actually control different parts of the map. You don't necessarily have to do spawn killing, but... Pretty much, I mean, if you've got the Wraith and both snipers, or even just both snipers, you can pretty much control either side. A lot of times near the Wraith, like where the Wraith spawns, or over on the other side of the map, you can kind of just camp out. But no matter what, don't constantly rush into the middle trying to kill the sniper that just killed your teammate. I see a lot of people doing that, and it's just keeps racking up kills for the other team. Just try working together, just chat on your own channel, and try to find a creative way to get the Wraith with stickies, rockets. You can actually hijack them sometimes. And a sniper can, remember, a sniper can always be taken out with just a few well-placed BR shots, so even the guys like to camp up on the ledges. I mean, they're out in the open, too, so just keep that in mind.
Easy target.
One thing I was going to say, too, is that... when there's a sniper out there just, like, owning people all over the place, I'll find like a smaller area where there's, you know, likely to be someone else in that area that I can fight. So basically, I'm just kind of picking my battles. If I can't, you know, beat the sniper, I'll let somebody else worry about that later, and I'll just try to take someone else out that I can beat, that I do have a chance against. So that kind of works on pretty much any map, too.
Yeah. It's like, don't use your aggression for pwnage, not the other team's
pwnage. Nice little rhyme there, eh? You're pwning, you didn't know
I'm
it.
I'm moaning you. Yeah, I worked on it. I improved on it.
Nice. Well, okay, moving on to one from SC Cover, who says, here's a good sniper spot he thinks we might have heard of. Anyway, here it is. The hill by where the Wraith spawns is a really awesome sniper spot because it allows you to see straight down the map. You have to go up to where the terrain comes out of. That's kind of cool. Actually, that's like in really good dark cover, right?
Yeah, it's really good cover. I sometimes go up there for a zombie game, and
awesome.
It's just fun sniping them. Because I have a really weird zombie game type where it's like human weapons on map. I think I call it Zombie Revolution or something. Where zombies get pwned over and over again and weapons respawn. And this is a big map, nice. So it hurts.
We got one from Phantom Get here who says, first of all, there are BRs all over the map. And if you can land the headshots, pick one up. Of course, there's a few carbines or the sniper rifle. There's one near the garage, the place where the Warthog and Ghost spawn near the road. Two, this map is commonly used for sniping games due to its tremendous size. There's one point that, if acquired, should be kept. It's high up and makes a perfect sniping point. It's most commonly called the sniper respawn point because the only way to get up there is to respawn, jump on top of somebody else, or super jump. The sniper spot is one of the best places in the map for these games, also the most dangerous. When sniping, you're exposed and more or less trapped and screwed if you get spammed with grenades. Number three, the Wraith is one of the most powerful weapons in the game. If you have it for defense or assault on CTF, it's big and fun, but relatively useless as the other team avoids it and comes into the base on the terminal side, the side of the trains, instead. Of course, I think we all three of us kind of disagree with that one there. The Wraith can be like, basically like turning the tides on pretty much any game in terminal.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you can fire directly into the flag spot or the bomb arm spot. You know, to prevent them from grabbing the flag or prevent them from arming the bomb and, you know, kind of stop anyone else. Because a lot of times, once the bomb has already got time on, it's already tried to be planted, you know, then it's going to be returned shortly. They're going to try to take the most direct route possible. They're not going to go all the way around and try to take out the Wraith first because they got time on the bomb and the bomb's about to return. So, you know, same thing
as
with the flag.
As long as everybody's talking, you can keep the Wraith alive forever. I mean, you just need to communicate who has rockets and where the other team is, really. Yeah.
No screaming, just talking.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's see here. Moving on to the next one. He says, since there is a battle rifle for the defensive team, you should come in a vehicle. The Warthog allows you to transport the bomb or flag carrier quickly from base to base. When on defense, if you ever get killed, you respawn in the sniper spawn point so you can jump down and restart the pwnage. And lastly, take advantage of the room leading into the garage. It can be a good BR or sniper point as well as a sneak attack point. Pretty cool. Wire Xbox 25 says, here's one that some people may not know, but if you run on the left track facing where the track will come out, so you can easily jump to the other track and thus avoiding the train. So if you're trying to get the sword, run on the left track, and you can see the train coming at you and safely avoid it altogether. But remember to jump back so you don't get pwned by the guardians from behind. Just watch for snipers, too.
That's a pretty ballsy maneuver.
Well, at least you can see the train coming.
Yeah. I know, when a blue screen appears in the game, everything gets reset, even the trains. And they, for some reason, they appear faster, like more often. And there'll be two crossing the tracks at once, so it's crazy. It's like, round, 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 like every 10 seconds.
There's nothing worse than when you see one of your teammates trying to jump across, and you see the train coming,
and you're like,
and they don't
watch
even
out!
Have a clue.
Yeah. Then you give...
Yeah.
Son of a...
No kidding.
Lame.
Well, we got one from Infection X, who says to grab the shotgun and rockets in the parking lot building, and head upstairs, and you'll see two doors, head towards one, anyone will do. When you walk in, there's a small place you can stand to your right or left, depending on which door you choose. This is a very good camping space because you can kill people who walk through and rocket people who come through the other way. is very useful, and only players who are really observant will notice you as you walk by. One time he hid there with a shotgun, crouched, and his teammate walked through, and he scared him enough to smack him. Nice.
just a big scream, and
you kind of have to move around.
Betrayal.
That's a really good place for like a rumble pit game, but people will come back for you next time. So,
yeah, rumble pit's so much fun because I'm pretty good at steel killing.
Oh gosh!
So I just rack up kills with a BR, and it's like kill-tacular. It's like I didn't even touch one of those guys. Yeah. I just did one shot with the BR, and
there's nothing better when you're like look out into a field and see like three guys with SMGs,
or you got a grenade,
and you've got a BR or something, or grenades.
I played. I played a game on Warlock, I think G. Lewis was there, and I just spawned, and I just grabbed a BR and a couple grenades, and all I did was chuck a couple grenades across the map, and it's like, killing frenzy, I'm like, that's awesome.
Definitely.
I was like, oh, that's awesome. And
well, speaking of Rumble Pit, you got some Rumble Pit tips, right?
Yeah, I'll take these. I've actually got one I'll start it off with. See, a lot of Rumble Pit games here, I know a few that I've just grabbed the sniper and pretty much had it the whole time. So I know sniper's a great weapon, but it just really pones here. And I mean, a lot of the obvious places, too, you can get up on top of that huge rock. Or as long as you're far enough away from most of the spawn points, I found most times you can get at least 5 good kills before somebody gets you. That's a very simple tip. And sometimes you can even actually get both sets of ammo. And people get really, really pissed, but oh well. I mean, it's Rumble Pit, so.
In a Rumble Pit game, I find, like, let's say on Bureau Mount, I've once gotten an, what was it? Not Untouchable, Overkill.
Oh, gosh.
Because I had the sniper right at the beginning of the map, and nobody could touch me. Like, I had both snipers on the map, and nobody touched me because they would, like, fight their way to me, and then I would just snag the kills. And they would just fight, and sniper. If it's well hidden and they keep moving, they can really do some good damage on a level pit game, especially for this one since it's so huge.
Yeah, it's tempting to stay in the same place.
You can get really good cover.
But you want to keep moving.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. I've got one for territories from Chemo 23. For 3 plots, the 2 most important plots on this map are the courtyard and the parking structure. It's hard to keep the train tracks because of the train. But it's almost impossible to lose the courtyard unless your Wraith is a noob. But the lower level parking structure is not so easy to keep. Usually what happens is that the enemy team is so focused on the other 2 plots that they only send 1 guy at a time to recapture this plot. The boxes nearby the plot provide excellent cover so that anyone trying to take your plot will get assassinated.
Nice.
And then you get a badge.
Let's see. We've got one from Infection X for Oddball. This is for Team Ball. He's got some hints. He says, have a player spawn in the area above the parking lot, the area that is almost unreachable. Have a teammate get the ball, run it to the opening, and throw it up through to the other player. He says it's hard, but he's seen it done. The other player can camp up there and gain time for your team. Meanwhile, you can have other teammates find and hold onto the other
balls. That is awesome.
It's multi-ball. Yeah,
that's a good tip. The only way you can die is by the rain of grenades
or something.
Rockets, maybe. Sniper, maybe. Nah, you have to mod like painkiller.
Yeah, hacker.
Yeah.
Let's see. There's one for Juggernaut from I'm guessing Infection X. It says here's a tip: do your best.
It's from nobody.
These don't. Oh, okay, never mind. This is a random ghost tip. Do your best. These don't get played much on this map at all. So you can create
there's a good tip for you guys.
Create your new strategy.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good noob tip.
So we have one random tip of the week, and it's from Expanded Flame, and what he has to say is like, okay, guys, I just got my copy of Ants, the video game, yesterday, so when you come to the level, the big epic battle against the spitting termites, you got to stock up on your energy leaves, the extra ant skin armor, and most of all your guns. Don't forget to get the BR bug repellent weapon. Make sure you don't point this to yourself either. So when you are in battle and you see a giant llama termite charging at you, eat your energy leaves so you can shake your rear body really, really fast to bury yourself into the dirt, and the termite will shoot at nothing but your helmet. My favorite level is the one where it snows, and you can snowboard down the anthills and grind along grass blades. If you don't understand, ask Fumo Jive. And guys, by the way, don't get yourself confused with the game.
Yeah, where'd the llama like come from? That's what I want to know. Giant llama termite?
The what? Yeah, I could have.
I don't know, maybe that's some kind of mutant predator termite.
You never know.
Yeah, maybe. Possibly the new
covenant.
Covenant.
Yeah, they've got monkeys
the llama.
This time, so you never know what they'll get next time.
The llama monkey. The llama monkey brute. That'd be freaky, yeah. A brute with a long neck. Gosh. Wow. I'd commit suicide, stick my knee with a sticky, run towards them.
Lowers can turn
into
llamas now, nice.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us to the end of the show, guys. Tune in next week for the Podtacular Customs and Call-In Show, where we talk about custom games people send in. We play back some voicemails, and we got a lot in the queue here, being that we're doing this monthly now. But it's going to be a good show. Looking forward to it. We also got Tales from the Foxhole on that one, where we talk about like kind of stories people encounter in-game.
And also, guys, don't forget to send in your tips, strategies, custom games, web resources, and MP3 segments to pogtacular@gmail.com. We actually ask for different stuff every week, so you can check it out and send it in at thenewpodtacular.com. And make sure to tell your friends about our site. That's how all you guys all found it somehow, and so just keep passing it on. And just make sure that when you guys do send in tips, make them really clear. Try to do the spell check and all, and we won't massacre your tips when they come in. So,
yeah.
And you can also call our voicemail line at 206-888-HALO, and that's once again 206-888-HALO.
Yeah. So thanks to Freak in a Box also for editing this show, and to Jude Blaine.
You'll have fun this week.
Oh, yeah. And to Jude Blaine.
One hell of a time.
Right on, dude. And to Jude Blaine for editing the pre-show notes. So until next time, I'm Fumo Jive.
I'm Filthy Noob.
And I'm Salmonator. And this is perfect timing because, guys, I'm playing Halo 2 right now while we're speaking. And I got to go. Someone's arming the flag. I got to kill the Juggernaut to get the oddball. And I got to go capture that bomb.
Right.
Oh, and do that. After I do that, I have to go frag the truck.
Yeah.
So it can frag the
don't
other
get
truck.
Get hit by that cat.
Which have frags in them. And then once that frag blows up, I have to find another frag to go blow up the fragging company. Where all the frag trucks are created. I think I bombed that one.
or you could just go play cat and mouse.
Yeah, that's you. I like that.
Play plenty of that. All right, guys. See you next time.
Yeah.
Out. See you guys.
Peace.
Later.
Giggity, giggity.
There's only one thing left to say.